You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Coulda, Shoulda, Woulda. This is an expression, according to Wikipedia, of dismissiveness or disappointment concerning a statement, question, explanation, course of action, or occurrence involving hypothetical possibilities, uncertain facts, or missed opportunities. And we're going to focus on that one. The Urban Dictionary, which I'm not recommending, not endorsing, just telling you what it said, defines this as meaning that it is of no use to dwell on what should have, shoulda, could have, coulda, or woulda happened, been, done, said as an attempt to shorten a discussion that focuses on the past, thus providing no solution to an actual problem. So someone says to you, well, man, you coulda, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, however you want to put them together. But we throw that out kind of dismissively and say, well, there's the answer. That doesn't solve anything. India Ari has a song about this. Celine Dion has a song about this. Oddly enough, they change up the sequence. But we use this all the time. There is a world of opportunities out there right now. And I'm going to ask you some questions today, and I don't need you to be dismissive about the questions. I'm trying to get you to think in this room and beyond, specifically about what comes to mind, what the Holy Spirit brings to your mind as I ask this question. What opportunity have you known about, are currently processing, or is about to come your way? What opportunities are on the table? Either you've got something that if you don't do something with, you're going to end up in a coulda, shoulda, woulda down the road, or it's about to be presented to you, or you've got it on your plate, you've got it on the table, and you have to make a decision what you are going to do with that opportunity, or it is not going to last forever. It is going to go away. And you're going to look back and go, what was I thinking? Why didn't I do something about that? I could have done that. I should have done that. I would have done that if what? Go to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. These are things everybody's talking about. You want these things? They're in the scripture. Wisdom, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So who are the people that increase learning, that listen, they will hear and increase learning? These are wise people. Are you a wise person? Would you be characterized as that? Or are you just some fool that just blunders on into the future? A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are some people you can't tell them anything. And I've got some of these people in my life, and I love them. I pray for them. I'm around them some. And at some point, I stop. I am not going to waste my words and time on a fool. You say, well, that sounds pretty harsh. Only a fool would waste his time on a fool. You say, well, what are you looking for? What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the consequence of foolishness to finally cause the person to stop and say, hey, could we talk? You've been trying to help me for decades. And I say, okay, wow, what's going on? Man, I don't want to do this anymore. The consequence, my foolishness has gotten me in so much trouble, I don't want. And I'll say, absolutely, immediately, let's engage. My son, verse 8, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. You go, who's saying this? There are thieves all over town saying this to somebody. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words, and what does she say? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. Now look at the options. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. Who would not want the Spirit of God poured out on them? I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. You can't be corrected. You can't be told you're out of line. This is not going to work. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I do some prison ministry. A lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas in prison. A lot of people looking back on their lives, and they can tell you, I didn't listen. I couldn't be told anything. They tried to tell me, my mom, my dad, my uncle, my preacher, my whoever it was, everybody tried to warn me, but I was too smart. I had it all figured out. I wasn't going to get caught. Let me tell you something about getting caught. Listen closely. Everybody always gets caught. Amen. Now you say, well, what do you mean by that? You may have to die for it to happen, but you're going to get caught. Every deed, every thought, every word, it'll all come out and you'll give an account for it. You may not get caught on this side, but you're going to get caught. And even if you don't quote unquote get caught on this side, you'll get caught with your own foolishness and in your own foolishness. And then you're stuck in that for the only life you're ever going to have. One of the things I love about God and being his child is part of the proof that I'm his child is his chastening, is his discipline. Because he'll only let it go so long. And he will allow something to happen and go, we're not doing this anymore. And he turns the dial consequence. And as you've heard me say, you got to say uncle before you say father. But when you finally say uncle, you start saying father a lot. Because he will work the foolishness out of you if you'll yield to him. But if you won't yield, this is not going to go well. Finish up Proverbs 1. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. You want to live, verse 33? You got to listen. To him, to his spirit, to what God's trying to tell you, where he's trying to take you. Now, if you do verse 33 and avoid all the pitfalls before that, you don't end up at the end of your life unless you're having a bad sin moment where you say, if I had not trusted Christ, I could have done all these things. I could have run wild and look what I missed. You don't last there long though, because the way of the sinner is hard. It's just hard. Do you know how many coulda, shoulda, woulda moments that the devil works me over with in regard to drugs and alcohol? Do you have any idea? Any idea? Somebody want to venture a guess? Zero. I coulda done drugs and alcohol. How in the world I got through all that? God protected me. I don't think I shoulda. It wouldn't have worked out. Either I was too afraid or something. Now, I got other issues. But in that category, what happened? I got to those situations and I made choices. Now I'm talking to a bunch of little kids and some young people. You are getting clobbered day after day, week after week, and there's more coming. There are these gates that open and close, and they say, hey, try this, do this. No, everybody's doing this, it's gonna be okay. And you're listening to your parents, you're listening to preachers, you're reading the scriptures, hopefully, and you're being taught these things, and you're gonna get in that moment, and the Holy Spirit is gonna say, hold, 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 But they're all going that way, Lord. Hold, take a stand. Do not go with them. It's going to end up in destruction, pain, sorrow. How many more people do you have to see screwed up to believe it? Oh, I'm smarter than God. Smarter than God. Those are just stupid people. They don't know. I know the system. I'm brilliant. They make movies about crazy people like you. I can go back in my life and I got some coulda, shoulda, woulda moments. But thankfully, the Lord God himself cared about me enough and loved me enough and brought enough consequence in my life where he said, dude, this is never going to work. And you don't own you. I own you. You are my child. I own you. You are a slave to me. You can't do what you want to do. Now you can, but I'm going to make it so you don't want to. And so there are more and more things in my life that I go to do and say, you know, the devil says, how about some of this? And I say, no, thank you. You say, but dude, if you said yes to that your whole life, why would you say no now? Because I'm not interested anymore, because the consequence of saying yes is too high. Pain's too much. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Okay, knock yourself out. Everybody's got different tolerance for pain. But I'm telling you, you're on a course with coulda, shoulda, woulda. There's going to come a day in your life where you're going to look back and say, I could have made this choice. I should have made this choice. I would have, but I got sucked in and I didn't have the stamina, the fortitude, the courage, the relationship with God. I just was too weak. Stop using I'm too weak as an excuse. When you are weak, he is strong. Let him be strong. There's always a way out. Isaiah 30. Now, let me pick up this Bible just a second. So the book says about itself that if all the things just that Jesus did were recorded, the world couldn't contain. There's nowhere to put the books, right? So God chose in his infinite wisdom to leave us a book. Not everything that ever happened, not everything Jesus ever did, not everything that was ever said, a sampling, what he thought was necessary. You don't have to read like a 1,000-volume thing to walk with God. You got one book. How hard can this be? So you say, Lord, you left me your word. So I'm going to guess, I'm going to believe that what I need to live this life is probably in here somewhere. I bet it's right in here. So I think I'll spend some time in this book. Do not be shocked if you don't have time for this book, if you end up getting booked eventually. If I said just in this room, everybody raise your hand who's been arrested, you'd be amazed how many people have been arrested. I got really, really close, really, really close. I did a brilliant thing, thought it'd be cool to have a collection of signs in Waco, Texas when I was in college. I needed a yield sign, a stop sign. I need all these signs. And then all of a sudden my car is surrounded by like 8 police cars and they were not happy. They got the color of my car wrong. That was my only way out. And I had already chunked the signs in a field somewhere. And they said, sir, we have a report of a purple Cadillac convertible riding around stealing signs. And my heart is beating so hard. I'm surrounded by cops. Like a machine gun. My heart's beating. I'm being really calm. And I said, well, officer, there's clearly some misunderstanding because as you can see, this is a brown Cadillac convertible. And he was not happy. Would you mind if I look in your trunk? Absolutely, no problem. Click the trunk. He said, would you mind if I check under your hood? I had not thought about that. Like, there's a good place to hide signs if you're stealing things. I said, absolutely, officer. Now, they knew they had me, but they had no evidence. And some negotiation, I ended up in front of a judge and did not go to jail, but had to write a paper to the judge of why it was biblically, morally, every reason why it's wrong to steal. I haven't stole a lot of stuff since then. And you say, well, I don't need the book. I'll tell you another thing about doing prison ministry. Lots of people got lots of time to read the Bible. A lot of people reading the Bible. Now they got time memorizing the Bible, trying to figure out how to go forward if they ever get a future and get out or figure it out on the inside. Isaiah 30, verse 21. This is a great chapter, but Isaiah 30, 21. Your ears, and this is Old Testament, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So literally, Old Testament, you'll hear a word behind you. Now let me tell you something about the word you hear now if you hear a word, and I don't hear voices.
The Word moved from behind me to in me when I became a Christian. And the same God that created the universe, the Holy Spirit of God, lives in me. And if you will bother to ask Him, I promise you, you say, well, I don't hear God. You don't want to hear God. That's why you don't hear God. A lot of people don't want to ask God what He wants to do because they want to do what they want to do, and they're afraid God will tell them something different. That's wisdom to say, okay, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I want to do. What do you say? And He says, no, don't go that way. Go this way. That's not what I want to do. It's like, do you trust me or not? Go this way. And I can line you up people who have chosen poorly and line you up a few who have chosen wisely, and their lives don't look anything the same. Now you say, well, did it go terribly for just the people who chose poorly? No, sometimes the people who take the right road suffer. The Bible promises that too. But you suffer with joy. You suffer with peace. You suffer with love. You suffer with all the fruit of the Spirit, and you thank Him anyway because you know you chose the right road, and at least the suffering is out of obedience, not out of disobedience. Go to Isaiah 48, a few pages over. 48:18. It's all over the Bible. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Look at the possibilities. If you had heeded my commandments, that's what He had promised. God says, I'll promise you peace. I'll provide peace. I'm going to make my own peace. I'll provide you joy. I'm going to find my own happiness. I'll provide you love. I'm going to make my own love. I'll do it my way. Go to John chapter 2. This one, oddly enough, is one of my favorite little moments in Jesus' life. First miracle. He's at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. John 2:1. Third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. She's like, okay, you know, well, what happens? That's not in the Bible, by the way. Now, look at verse 5. Mom and son have this exchange. Not yet. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, I'm giving you some of the best advice I will ever give you in your whole life. You read the Bible. You see what Scripture says. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm reading the Word. I want wisdom. I want instruction. I want knowledge. I want to know what you want for my life. So you say, well, am I going to get it in the Bible? The answer is yes. You're going to go to make a life-changing decision. Do I sleep with her or do I not sleep with her? Do I sleep with him or do I not sleep? Do I marry him or not marry him? Do I take this job? Do I move? You say, well, how would I know? You can know. Because if you're walking with God, He lives in you. He will speak to you. You will have peace or no peace. You'll say, wow, something's not right. You go, I'm out. You'll have the ability to say no, and He'll give you a peace about that. And then you don't end up with these coulda, shoulda, woulda moments down the road like, this job was a disaster, and I kind of knew something was wrong. Pay attention to that. So you're reading the Scripture. You're praying. You're fasting. You're doing whatever it takes to get an answer. And Jesus' mother says to the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. So when you get quiet and you climb in that closet and you pray and say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Most people are praying, not your will, my will be done. He goes, okay, knock yourself out. You'll be back. But you finally pray, not my will, your will be done. And He says, do this. And you say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Right now, sir. And you obey. You say, well, it can't be that easy. I'll tell you what's complicated is living this screwed up life of disobedience. Your mother, your father, everybody in the world comes along and says, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I have a friend right now. His daughter fell in love. Now, please listen closely. And this is going out a little bit on a limb, big time. His daughter, I baptized this little girl. She met a Mormon. The Mormon man told her that my Jesus is the same as your Jesus. Now, listen, it's not the same Jesus. You say, but Mormon people are nice. It's not Christianity. It's not the same. And if you do just a slight bit of homework, you'll find out. She got engaged. She married the guy. The dad didn't even go to the wedding of his own daughter. You say, well, wow, that's taking a stand. You better figure this out. No one takes a stand on anything anymore. And then you look back and go, wow, that was a serious time. I should have said something, should have tried. You say, well, that's his daughter. Why wouldn't he just kind of go along? When are you going to stop going along? When are you going to lead? When are you going to believe something and say, no, I'm not doing this anymore? That's not true. See, if you speak truth, you lose people, but you pick some up along the way. Because there are some people out there trying to chase after God, and they are tired of people watering it down so much. I'll tell you what, if I was a drinker, let me tell you something about your little parties. I would have my parties under a bridge somewhere. I'd have a bottle in a bag, not this Jesus on the rocks crap. Little sip and see. Oh, hello. If you're going to go, go. You're going to drink, drink. Be hot or cold. There are too many lukewarm Christians walking around just hoping it all works out. You are on the planet, left on the planet, to take a stand. And you're going to get down the road and look back and say, unfortunately, too many times, I could have said something, could have done something. I should have said something, should have done something. Well, I would have, but I was too chicken. I was afraid I was going to be canceled, whatever you think is going to happen. I'm concerned about being canceled by God, and that's not going to happen. You'll sleep better at night. Your marriage will be different. Your family will be different. It'll be different if you have to take a stand. I'm checking on that buddy all day long, the day of that wedding, because that's a hard day. His daughter knows that he loves her, and soon enough, she's going to find out it ain't the same Jesus. But he's left the key under the mat, and she knows it, and sooner or later, she's going to say, Dad, I'm in trouble. And he's saying, I know that, but I still love you. Let's work this out. Let's figure this out. It's not just hating on people, calling them out. You're saying, I love you. You speak the truth in love. So you call it out when you see it, but you're also there to help them pick up the pieces. That's grace. That's mercy. And that's who he is. Whatever he says to you, do it. So back to the opportunity zone here. You say, well, I don't even think. I'm positive. I believe. I know that God has told me to do X. Just do what he tells you to do. Well, I'm not going to make as much money. I hate to tell you, but all the money in the world is not going to fix what you're going to be feeling when you got all the money in the world. You know, you climbed a ladder and it's leaning up against the wrong building. So you got money. Do you have the life that he intended? How many people I talk to thinking they want to go this way and all of a sudden the Lord says, no, go teach school. Boom, they're a school teacher. They're going to starve to death. No, they're going to have great joy in what they do and God's going to take care of them. You got food and clothing, you got what you need. That's what he promised. Everything else is just excess. Last one, James 4:17. The Bible talks about sins of omission, sins of commission. Sins of commission are things you're doing you're not supposed to be doing. Sins of omission are things you should be doing you're not doing. And simple verse, 4:17, James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So you get down the road and go, Lord, I got a lot of pile up back there, a lot of coulda, a lot of shoulda, a lot of woulda, but I didn't pull the trigger.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now there's one category of people, either in this room or beyond, and when it gets to this point, if you let it get to this point, when it finally gets there, it'll be too late. There will be millions, if not billions of people in a real hell for eternity, coulda, shoulda, woulda. And you say, I don't believe that. And all I can tell you as quietly as I can is you will. That day's coming. And someone once again is trying to warn you, is trying to help you, is trying to say, look, there is no way to heaven but Jesus. And if there's nothing to this, then why are you feeling what you're feeling? That is God himself saying, it's me, I love you, I care about you, I sent my only son Jesus to die on a cross, be buried and raised from the dead to save you, to forgive you, to give you grace, mercy, everything you need, no matter where you've been, what you've done, but you have to respond. That is the opportunity of a lifetime, of an eternity. And if I could get on my hands and knees and beg you, I am begging you and pleading with you there and in here. Whatever he says to do, do it. And he says, respond. He says, say yes.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.